connected to the source. And it's good to see all of you all today, seeing some familiar faces. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read something, but I don't think it'll tie into the message. Is that okay? I thought so. Matthew tells us, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, hears them, and then what? Does them. In other words, you have to do the word. How do you do the word? By believing what the word says. I will liken him to a wise man. We want to be wise, don't we? You want to be wise, hear the word of God, and then do the word of God. Which built his house upon a rock. And then when you do these things, when the rain descends, the floods come, the winds blow, which is, it does kind of tie into the message. When all the oppositions of life, because that's what I'm going to be preaching on, don't be discouraged by opposition. Then when all these things come, it says, and beat upon the house, it fell not. Because why? It was founded upon the rock. So somebody here today, listen, you were built to stand. You are built to stand under opposition when you begin to hear the word and do the word. That's the foundation. That is the foundation. And when you build the foundation right, when you build the foundation right, the rest of the house will go upright. Amen? And because I've heard of people building something and they get halfway up and it's crooked and it's misshapen. Why? Because they didn't start the foundation off right. So we want to be wise. We want to hear the word, then we want to do the word. And then we'll see the word do what we know the word can do. Now, don't ask me to repeat that because I have no idea what I just said. So today we're going to be talking about don't be discouraged by opposition. Now I know some of us have not been discouraged at all in our walk with the Lord. And if you're one of those, I covet your prayers. And some of us are discouraged now. At any given moment of the day or any given time in life, there we can become discouraged. And discouraged means to prevent something from happening by making it more difficult or unpleasant, a loss of confidence or enthusiasm. Opposition means resistance, the action of opposing something that you disapprove of or disagree. The devil highly disapproves of you standing on the word of God. The devil highly disapproves. It causes resistance through opposition to keep you from hearing the word, the truth of the word. But it is the desire of our Father, of our Heavenly Father, it's His desire to encourage us and to cause us to maintain the joy of the Lord. Encourage means to give support. It means confidence or hope, or to be lifted up. So discourage, encourage. It is the desire of the devil to discourage, and he does this through opposition. Because we know the word tells us that the thief comes to steal, kill, or destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And according to these words, the enemy comes into our lives to take away from us the word that has been sown in our heart. Because it is the word, the life-giving word, that gives us joy, that gives us enthusiasm, that gives us hope, that lifts us up. Amen? And the word there, thief, is the Greek word that comes from klepto. And which means to steal. You know, you've heard of people being kleptomaniacs. They can't help but steal. I mean, it's something they have to get delivered from. It's part of who they are, you know. That's the way the devil is, his nature. Just as it is his nature to lie, it is his nature to steal, to kill, and destroy the dreams, the promises that God has put in your heart, and he does this through opposition. It means a bandit, or pickpocket. Someone that likes to sneak up on you in the middle of a busy street or somewhere and take something away from you and you don't even realize it until it's gone. And sometimes if we don't deal with discouragement at the moment that we begin to sense it coming to our lives, it then becomes a problem. It can go into depression and oppression. So he puts thoughts into our mind to our peace and to our joy, and tries to stop that from happening in our life. The Bible says in 1 Peter, be sober. In other words, have a clear mind. Renew your mind with the Word of God. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary goes around as a kleptomaniac trying to steal from you. And sometimes he does it and we don't know it. Yeah. Until we wake up one day and we're like. So just as it is his nature to lie, it's his nature to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the one thing that he wants to steal from us, the sons and daughters of God, is joy. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. It tells us in Jeremiah, joy or Nehemiah, joy meaning gladness, meaning delight. Joy meaning a source of support, the ability to withstand force, pressure, or opposition. That's why he doesn't want you to know about joy or to walk in joy, because having joy makes you glad of heart.
That's right.
And when you hear the word, receive the word, and begin to believe the word and do the word, then you will have joy because you know there's hope, because hope can be found in the word of God. Joy meaning gladness and delight. So he steals our joy through discouragement. Discouragement comes through opposition, ongoing opposition. Opposition comes to distract you from your purpose, from what God has promised you, what God is doing in your life, and what you are doing for God. To get you so discouraged enough that you become indifferent. Have you seen people that are just indifferent with I don't care attitude? That's because I believe they've become so discouraged that they don't realize it, that they have become indifferent. Well, if it happens, if it don't, it won't. You know, you've heard people say, I can't catch a break. Or you've heard people say, if it's going to rain, it's going to rain on my parade. Amen. It's going to happen to me. But we're going to take a look at a few moments today in the Bible at someone who had become discouraged, was awakened by the angel of the Lord, reminded of the task that God had started. That started, and the God of hosts who was with him to finish what was started. And a lot of times we become discouraged when we receive the word of the Lord and it doesn't happen in our time frame or the way it should happen, and that word is out there just kind of floating around and we're not doing anything about it, you know. And pretty soon we become discouraged, we just lay it up on the shelf and just like. So this man was named Zerubbabel. And I'm going to give you just a little bit of history real quick to bring you up to Zechariah 4, about 586 B.C., before any of us was born, I assume. Armies of Nebuchadnezzar captured Jerusalem, which marked the end of King Judah. Thank God for Pastor Laverne teaching Bible history here.
Amen.
Most Jerusalem inhabitants were deported to Babylon for about 70 years, as Jeremiah had prophesied. And so when the Babylonian Empire fell, the Persian Empire, Cyrus decreed the Jews would return to Jerusalem, rebuild their temple. So the small minority of about 50,000 Jews returned. The people had talked against them. And how could the Lord's people put this discouragement behind them so they could finish the task of rebuilding the temple? How can you put the discouragement behind you and get back the joy of the Lord when the enemy has come and has said, if God said, if you receive that word, then why isn't anything happening?
So when we do that, we're putting God in our time. In our time. And God is time himself. Take God out of the time equation and just continue to believe him. Hopefully I keep this up to my mouth. Because my voice don't work without my hand. They just work together. So, but how could they put the discouragement behind them so they could finish the task of rebuilding the temple? But you know, I have found out looking through history, God is always raises up someone with a voice that God begins to anoint, to begin to prophesy and say, there's yet hope. Remember what God said. Remember what God did. Remember what God spoke to you. God begins to raise up a voice in the land that begins to prophesy. And you know, you're really the prophet of your own life. You can begin to prophesy to yourself. And when you begin to prophesy what the word of the Lord is, it brings life to something that is already there. Because God's word concerning you is already there. You're just not, when you prophesy, you're just not speaking something that's not there. You are bringing life to something that is already there that you have heard God say. Anybody get that? That's why you need to be the prophet of your own life. There was things, and when God began to speak into the earth and everything was dark, what he needed to bring life was already there. He just needed to begin to speak to what was already there and watch it come to life.
Amen.
Amen. You need to begin to prophesy over your situation and what God has said. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. You will finish what has been started. He said, I'm not done with you yet. I'm not finished with you yet. And say, when I begin to think about this and think about new life and what all has been going on in the last few years and people outside of the community I've heard whispers of, who's preaching out there? Who's doing this now? I heard it wasn't nobody coming out there no more. I heard this was happening. But God is not finished with us. We have yet to begin, yet to see the best days of new life for the nation. This church is going to bring in the drug addicts. It's going to bring in the prostitutes. It's going to bring in the crippled, the blind, the lame, those that cannot hear. And guess what's going to meet them at the door? The power of God. And I believe they're going to get healed when they pull up on that parking lot. I'm just radical. Because the Spirit of the Lord isn't confined in this building. We just meet here to get together and worship God. And I believe when people pull up on that parking lot, whether it's at 1 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning,
yes,
or 9 o'clock on Sunday morning,
amen,
the Spirit of God is going to meet them and they're going to be healed, yes, before they ever come in here.
Yes.
Two or three of you are with me. Hallelujah. Ezra 5:1 says, to turn things around, the Lord raised up two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, who spoke to the people in the name of God of Israel. Like I said, he raised up some voices that began to prophesy and said, hey, what about that temple? The foundation's been laid, but it's not done. It's been 16 years and there ain't nothing happening. Somebody needs to raise up with a voice and say, hey, what about that word God said about new life? Hey, what about that word that God said that you were going to go do through this place? Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the prophet prophesied to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. So he began to prophesy life into that discouragement. He began to prophesy life into that temple that needed to be built because God said it was to be built. So I gave you a brief history to bring you up to the Zechariah 4. And one of the reason I did it was for you to see how God is a God of order. He is a God of scheduled appointments. And I've got good news again. You're on that schedule. Your name is on that schedule even before the foundations of the earth. He knew you were going to be born in this season and where you were going to be at.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And your purpose in life. To see that he's a God of scheduled appointments with people. He's a God of scheduled and ordering of things he wants to accomplish through them. And he's looking for somebody to say, yes, Lord, here I am. Yes, Lord, here I am. So God can raise up a person, a people, a church that can, in spite of the opposition, in spite of becoming discouraged at times, in spite of what others are saying, in spite of what has happened, he can raise up, is raising up, has raised up. And you're either in either three of those categories that you choose to be. That will begin to prophesy to what you know, to life, to something that's already there, and bring light to it. So under the renewed leadership of Zerubbabel and Joshua, the people began to rebuild in spite of further opposition. And the work was finished in a little over 4 years. See, when you allow God to get on the board of the building, it don't take long. He's just looking for somebody to come into agreement with what he's already said. And as long as you stay in discouragement and depression and oppression and indifferent attitude, it's just going to lay there. Now, you either got to choose up and become part of the great bigger plan, or you could allow someone else. But God has a place for you, and he wants to use you. So I believe the message of this passage of Scripture, Zechariah 4, he's telling Zerubbabel that what he was asked to do is only possible through faith in God. And he met a lot of opposition to rebuild the temple and walls for the city. And you know, when I got to thinking about King Solomon, who was very wealthy and very powerful, building the temple, but Zerubbabel had to start with practically nothing. So all God needs is a yes from you. And when he gives the call, he'll provide for whatever you need along the way. All he needs is a yes and a willing vessel. Then the Zechariah chapter 4, the angel of the Lord who talked with her returned and woke me up like someone awakened from sleep. And he asked me, what do you see? And that's what I want to ask you this morning. What do you see? Because I found out that what I'm seeing is more important than what you think you're seeing about me. Because if I don't see it, it really doesn't matter what you say I see, because I haven't seen it until I see it. Amen? So he said, Zechariah, what do you see? Remember what I told you about Ezekiel and the dry bones? And God said, Ezekiel, what do you see? He wanted Ezekiel to see the situation like it was. Then he said, well, can these bones be put back together again, Ezekiel? So Ezekiel had to begin to prophesy to something that was dead but was already there to bring life back to it. Right. Right. So when we're prophesying and speaking the word of the Lord, it's not anything new. It's just new to us. It's already there. God just wants you to speak it to bring life to it, to bring it into a manifestation. At times of discouragement, we need someone to come and wake us up. You know, there's times in my life that Pastor may not have noted, but he, not literally, but sometimes in his messages or sometimes in just talking, I felt like he took me by the shoulders and said, wake up! Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes that's what the preacher of the word needs to do to us. Or some good loving sister or brother needs to come along and say, what are you doing? They're discouraged. Yeah. Yeah. And grab us by the shoulders gently. And shake us and say, wake up, what do you see? What are you believing? Glory to God. Wake up means to stir. It means to get up. It means to get up. In the midst of being discouraged, we lose focus. We lose sight of where we are at. We lose sight of where we are going. To say to us, what do you see? This morning, an angel came to him and began to stir him up. I want a visitation from an angel. Yeah. Zerubbabel said, I see a solid lampstand, the bowl at the top, 7 lamps on it, 7 channels to the lamps. Also, there are 2 olive trees by it, 1 on the right and the other on the left. Now, when I looked at that, I didn't want to go back to the Old Testament and go into that, but what I see, the number 7 jumped out at me. Now, number 7 means the completion and the perfection of things. Glory to God. And God began to say, it's time for that which I have started to be brought to completion.
to be brought to perfection.
I ask of the Lord. So that's what Zerubbabel had started. It was time for it to be completed and perfected. Four, he says, I ask the Lord who talked to me. What are these? And he said, answered, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I replied. So he said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, or the Lord Almighty. So I've come to tell somebody today, and like I say when I preach to somebody. I don't preach to everybody. I just preach to somebody that has an ear to hear. So I've come to tell somebody that which God is doing for you will be done by His power, His Spirit working mightily in you. Working mightily in you. You are the vessel. Amen. You are the vessel that the glory comes out to bring completion to that which is started. It says, what are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you'll come become plain. Then he'll bring out the capstones with shouts of grace to it. What is your mountain of discouragement? What is your opposition that has caused you to be discouraged? As I say, become as nothing, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. He said, Zerubbabel, you've laid the foundation. Now it's time for you to finish that which you started. The good work that the Lord has started in you, He's going to bring to completion. Why not now? Why delay it any longer? Just believe. Then you will know. He said, that what you have started in this season, God says your hands are anointed to finish the task. Lift your hands up. Say, I'm anointed to finish the task. It's coming to completion. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who dares despise the day of small things? How many times are we looking for the bigger thing before we start something? How many times are we looking for all the finances to be there, or for all the right people to be there, or for everything just to be in order? For God to begin to do something. When He says, don't despise the day of small things or small beginnings. Don't despise or look down on the small thing God has asked you to do. Because one thing in the church, one thing in the kingdom of God is just as important as the other thing. But when they are given to you by God to do, it is a big thing. Because He is a big God that wants to do big things through you. And opposition has come and settled in to where you are so discouraged that you become indifferent. I'll just go to church, nothing is happening. I'll just go do this, it don't matter. It's probably going to rain today anyway. It's going to be hot again today, so I'm not going to do anything. An indifferent attitude will keep you stagnated. And stagnant water don't smell good. Well, for when they are given to God to do, it is a big thing. With the widow in 1 Kings 17 says, I don't have any bread, but I will give to you what I do have. I have some oil. I have bread only a handful in a jar. And I have a little of olive oil. But I'll give you what I've got. And God prospered it. Amen. You know, Mark 6:41, a little boy only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes left to feed 5,000 people. But I'll give you what I got. It's small, but I'm willing to give you what I've got. God prospered it. So if we give what we've got, no matter how small we think it is, and give it with a right heart, God will prosper it, people. God will prosper it. The little thing that you have an urge is to pick up the phone and call somebody. And just say, I want to call you, give you a word of encouragement. That may not seem big to you, but it's big in the eyes of God. The little things that matter so much to God. So don't get discouraged. Just give it to God. Start speaking. Grace. To your discouragement. Start speaking grace to your situation. Start speaking grace to what it is God is saying it's time to do and it's time to finish.
Continue to speak grace to those ones that you've stood in prayer for this morning. Speak God's favor over their life and God's grace over their life. And quit calling them drug addicts. Quit calling them alcoholics. But call them delivered. Call them sons and daughters of God. Call them free and abundantly free. Call them preachers of righteousness. Call them people that are full of the joy of the Lord. Amen. Refuse to call them what others see them as. Start calling them as you know what God sees they are. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your word today, Lord. Pastor, do you have anything to share? Huh? Too much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your visitation today, God. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, that has come and settled upon us this morning, that is brooding over us and birthing some things in and through us. Oh, thank you, Father God, for the deliverance of some people out there that they don't know they're delivered yet. But that which they're involved in is not going to have no taste anymore. It's not going to be tasteful to them anymore. It's not going to be bringing them joy like it has been. Ah, and they're finding their way to you, Jesus. And we thank you for that. Thank you for your word today, God. That not one person has to leave here discouraged this morning. That the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I just speak favor over these people today. That they are favored coming, they're favored going, they're favored whatever they put their hands to this week. That you're going to open doors. Oh, thank you, God, what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing in the body of Christ. And what we sense that's happening in the atmosphere that you're breathing upon us mightily in this season, God. And I thank you for that. And all the church leaves here today saying amen and praise the Lord. Amen.